are between Christmas and New Year's. This fun time. But we're going to get into something today that I knew it in my heart all along, but I couldn't prove it. But thank the Lord for Rick Renner. And we're going to see it today. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Mark. Now, you find this in Luke 4, mm-hmm. and where Jesus went to Nazareth and preached. And he laid out his calling. Now, that's the message that he preached everywhere. You can prove that from what Peter said to Cornelius' household, which began from the beginning how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. So, anyway, let's, thank you, Lord. Go to Luke 4. and then we'll go there to, hold my place right there and pick it up in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. And we have to remember now this documentary included this because this, he took a text from the book of Isaiah, what he was called to do. 64, we know it as the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. Now, he's just come off 6 weeks of fasting. He ate nothing for 6 weeks. At the end of that, the devil said, turn these stones into bread. Boy, that's dirty, isn't it? And it said, it came to that place where it said he hungered. That means that starvation had set in. Adam never had to pass a test like that, but he had to in order to put the devil in his place. And it said he left him for a season. Well, yeah, but anyway, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up as the custom was. Now remember, there's about 120, 150 people there. So just about everybody's there. They're at synagogue. And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, and so forth. Now, he closed the book and sat down, and they got so mad. So now we set the stage here. Let's go to it in the book of Mark and see what Mark adds to that in Mark 6. And we see something here. The Sabbath day was come, he began to preach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence went this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought in his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? There's his brother, James and Judah. The book of James and the book of Jude. Mm-hmm. Right there. And Simeon, are they not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. He could there do no mighty work. Now, is not this the carpenter? Well, and I've heard this. Well, carpenters also made shoes and so forth. But now, wait a minute. Notice, Jesus is called the carpenter. The original text also shows the definite article that precedes the word carpenter, which means Jesus was not just another carpenter. He was known in his city as the carpenter. This also suggests Jesus' skills and the Greek word is tekton, tekton. We get our word technology from that. Whoa. This also suggests Jesus' skills as a tekton were so well known that there was not more gifted tekton living in Nazareth than Jesus. A better translation of the word tekton in Mark 6:3 is that Jesus was an artisan, and it suggests no other artisan in the village had skills better than those of Jesus. Glory to God. But he's the carpenter's son. So what does that say of Joseph? Now Jesus was a young man raised there as a boy, but Joseph, and you can push that because that city, Sepphoris, was only 4 miles away. Mm. Now, where does that put this carpenter? The architect? And people say, well, he's the son of a poor carpenter. No, he wasn't. He was the son of a technician. Mm-hmm. He was an artisan. He was good at what he did. Amen. So he was not a poor man. He had to be a man of faith. He had to be the kind of man that was so developed in his life before God that all of his life he's been trained at this trade. And it's not an accident that his name is Joseph. Mm-mm. What about Joseph? What about him? He was whatever he needed to be.
That's right.
He was in the household of Potiphar. And he was so blessed that Potiphar came to the port. He didn't even know how much he owned. Well, who taught Joseph how to run a ranch and farm? The blessing of the Lord.
That's right.
Who taught him how to run a prison? The blessing of the Lord. Who brought him up to the place where they said they forgot about him? Well, he had to be forgotten about because he was 30 years old when they called him up to be number two in Egypt.
That's right. Excellent spirit was upon him.
Yes.
And same with Daniel. You'll see the same thing.
He had an excellent spirit on him.
When you were talking about him being a technician, think about one of the earliest people that the Holy Spirit ever came upon back building the tabernacle. They called this guy, I can't recall his name right now, and the Holy Spirit came upon him to build that magnificent tabernacle. Yes. And do the things. The Holy Spirit is working on. Here's the thing. Jesus' house is a faith house.
Yes, it is.
I guarantee you it was.
Oh, well, it had to be.
Well, because Mary and Joseph had all started that way, and faith was their thing in their house. And it says, as his custom was on the Sabbath day, he showed up. I guarantee you, Mary, from the time he was a little boy, is taking him to the synagogue every Sabbath. They're not going to miss. And his brothers are going with him. And because that is a house of faith that he grew up in. And this is why he marveled at their unbelief.
Yes.
They're a house of faith living in a town of unbelief.
And it's amazing that all these people that knew this fine young man were mad enough to kill him.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you know who's behind that. Yeah. The devil's trying to kill him every way he can because he's been looking for him ever since the Garden of Eden. That's the reason he killed all the prophets, thinking this must be the one that's going
to... That's right. He heard Simeon and Anna.
Yes.
He saw the angels show up in Bethlehem. I mean, he's been witness to all of this and can't do a blessed thing about it.
That's
he
right.
can't stop it. And so that's what's happening in our world today. I believe in the spirit realm. The spirit realm, the evil forces are seeing something that's happening. They see the blessing. They see what's happening in the world, and they're mad. They're doing everything they can to stop his second coming. But it's going to happen.
And this is what happens.
Joseph knew how to handle money as
well. Yes, he did.
And those riches of the Magi did not overwhelm him.
What happened to all of that? Did he carry all of that to Egypt? No. It was in the bank in Sepphoris. He banked it in Sepphoris. Now, he was, you know, he's rather overwhelmed. And all of this in his little house in Nazareth, and this huge caravan of people came out and parked in front of his house. And, whoa, all the talk in Jerusalem is about this. And
one of those younger brothers, Daddy, come pulled up.
Oh, my. And all of this is in his house. And then his faith came to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
He left town and to Egypt in the middle of the night. And so he had to be banking on, have ways of banking, because he couldn't take all that money. Herod was looking for him. And of course, there were people in there that was, it would have been taken from them. They would have been robbed. So there was a divine connection there so that they could call on those funds. And they had to go two different routes to get in and get out, because Herod's spies were all over the place trying to kill him. Now, we need to talk about the death of Herod. Look at 172. Thank you. Yes. How and when did Herod die? Another way Herod was known for being great was his great sexual promiscuity. Early writers wrote that Herod slept with an unimaginable number of people. In the words of Josephus, Herod was a slave to his passions. In fact, Josephus wrote that Herod died as a result of sexual diseases he had contracted from his multiple sexual escapades. When it was rumored that he was near death, a group of rabbis rallied their disciples to tear down the imperial Roman eagle that Herod had ordered to be hung one of the entrances to the temple. Herod heard of it. He was so enraged, he ordered all the instigators to be executed. Shortly after that event, Herod died a miserable death at his palace in Jericho. Josephus and other historical writers recorded that Herod was consumed by worms. And I won't publicly read the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the man that was trying to kill Jesus. So judgment came on him. He had no case that he could put before God. And he'd been in the presence of the rabbis and everybody. He knew who the Magi were. He knew all of this. And he had done all of these marvelous things by building the temple and all that. But that didn't count. No. So the purpose is this. Here is a man of great faith and a man of means, a very educated man. He knew things. He's not just a simple carpenter. Which, that a word also is used as carpenter, but he's more of an artisan than just a simple carpenter. That if he built furniture, it would be absolutely magnificent. But he was more in the line of an architect, a builder. So you would call him a builder. As a carpenter, he's a builder. So he constructs things. He builds buildings and so forth. This brought this man up, way up in my thinking. Man of great faith versus a king that had zero faith. A murderer. A demon-possessed, paranoid king. Well, we know where he is today. And
he wanted all of Israel to mourn when he died. It didn't happen. All of Israel cheered.
Oh, yeah.
And celebrated.
Sure they did.
So what I'm thinking about now, Jesus' training and growing up. So when he starts talking about the temple being destroyed in 3 days and they ask him, well, it took this long to build it and all, he knew a little bit about construction. He knew a little bit about architecture. Yeah, he knew a little bit about what it would take to do these things. So he's not speaking just allegorically. He knows what he's talking about.
And two, the people that were aware. Joseph it shows us that he was on up in age because he disappears off the scene. And in later years. So he was not all that young of a man to start with. And so by the time this whole family is growing up here, this man is well established. So I'm of the opinion that everybody knew who he was.
Sure.
They could point to things that he had constructed. And because of the Greek translation of that word, of technology, artisan, he was trained. He didn't just build benches and furniture and shoes. He was an artisan.
He's a businessman.
He's a businessman.
And profitable businessman.
Yes, and well, well trained because of that when you go back behind these words. And this brings me to this. This is the man that the Heavenly Father entrusted with his son. Mm. He had to be a tender man. He had to be a man that taught love. Had to be.
Well, he's merciful. We know that.
We know that.
Because he marries Mary.
Yes.
They wed
and
to cover
and
her.
It shows he didn't want to put her away publicly. This is a tender-hearted man. And that shows that he was in love with her. He loved her. He didn't want to do that. God trusted him.
And they had, at least according to the record here, four other children plus the sisters. So more than that. So they remained in love. They stayed in love.
Yes.
And whatever happened to him. I mean, we don't have him at the cross. We don't have him at other things. But we don't have Mary either destitute.
No, not at all. Not even close.
Not even close to it.
Mm-mm.
And the brothers are traveling with her to watch the ministry of Jesus happen. So when you look at all these
things.
Now,
we know he was there when he was 12.
We do know that.
Because they. Now, go do the timeline on that. There was a week. They looked for him because they had to walk back. Then they couldn't find him. And they found him in the temple. Well, where is he spending his nights? right there in the temple.
Well, there's some historical thought that Mary's parents lived just right there.
You know, I had forgotten about that.
They lived right there, right outside of the Pool of Bethesda, where the waters were troubled. Mm-hmm. So it could, if that's true, then it's possible he went to his grandparents' house.
Yes.
And stayed with them. Yes. Which would have been not far. It's right by the temple.
You know, and now that you bring that up,
I think Rick talks about that.
Yeah, I heard Rick talked about that. That it was just right there at the temple. So he just went over there and stayed with his grandparents and went to church every day.
Well, he had his bar mitzvah. It's during one of the feasts. Parents are going back north to the Galilee, and they lost track of him. And, well, he just stayed doing what he was doing. He's about his father's business now because he's a man of the word now. He's an adult.
Yes.
And so I'm doing my calling now.
Yeah.
Oh, staying with his grandparents.
Yeah. Glory to God. Isn't all this marvelous and wonderful? Now, his calling, let's talk about that.
That's how we started with Isaiah. Huh? Well, that's how we started with Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, his calling.
Okay, his calling. Now let's go to Galatians. He's the resurrected Christ now, the Messiah, seated at the right hand of majesty on high. I want to do something here that will help us with current events. In the fourth chapter of Galatians, let's go to the 26th. No, let's back up. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you, and so will tell me your desire. And now, for it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid, the other by a free woman. And we're out of time. But you better be around tomorrow. He who is of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but of the free woman by promise. One of them was Ishmael, and the other one was Isaac. And the offspring of Ishmael attacked Israel not long ago. Now you know the rest of the story. And we'll take it up there tomorrow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you glad you came? Thank you, Jesus. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to KCM.org, your study center for victory. Get real help for real life problems. Select a topic for answers straight from the Bible. Then believe, speak, pray, learn, and apply what you've heard and read to experience real change in your situation. Each step provides pages of articles, video teachings, topical scripture lists, and recorded prayers and confessions from the Copelands. KCM.org has made it simple to tap into God's wisdom for real help in your life. KCM.org meets you where you are.
In 2024, there's a KCM event for you. Come be a part of one of our free meetings and build your faith. December 31, join us for the New Year's Eve service at Eagle Mountain International Church in Newark, Texas. April 4th through 6th, make plans to be at the Branson Victory Campaign in Branson, Missouri. July 29 through August 3, come to the Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. God has given us exceeding great and precious promises in our covenant with Him. As we're about to step into the new year, we seek God's wisdom for His vision and plans for our lives. Brother Copeland has taught us this week that we must spend time in prayer listening for the things we are called to do. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So, we keep our eyes on Jesus, who is our Lord, Savior, Healer, Deliverer, Provider, and Prince of Peace. Jesus is the light of the world, the power and wisdom of God, the Lamb of God, and the King of Kings. When you give your life to Jesus, you have a covenant with Him, and He becomes all those things to you. It's as simple as praying this prayer with me. Lord, I confess my sins before you. I turn my life over completely. Take over and be the Lord of my life. I receive you as my Savior. I receive your Holy Spirit. I receive my new language. Thank you that I'm born again. Amen. Praise God. You are part of God's family. Now the blessing of the Lord is working on your behalf. Look to the future with joy and let hope rise up on the inside of you. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in Him, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." To help you learn more about your new life in Christ, Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a gift to send you called the Salvation Package. Request your free copy and you'll receive the book, He Did It All For You, by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Find out what belongs to you as a child of God. Read your Bible. Spend time in God's presence in praise and thanksgiving. Be sure to request your free copy of the Salvation Package on KCM.org.
It's all in the book.
Praise God. Well, we'll take it up there tomorrow. This is the time in the timeline. We are in the last of the last of the last of the last days. And we can see now, this is current events right here. And we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, oh, you have to remember this. In times like this, God loves you. Amen.
Amen.
And we love you.
True.
That's the reason for the Victory Channel. Hallelujah. Yeah. To have victory.
Yes.
And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you. It is called the Salvation Package. Learn about the new birth and how you can live your new life victoriously in Christ. Receive your free package on kcm.org/salvation. Keep your heart full of God's Word and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.